Well, today we're once again continuing in our series through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story, right? And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them once again to Hebrews chapter 11. If you've been with us, you know that this series has been taking us on a journey through the Bible as we've been discovering really who God is and really who He desires us to be. And we started all the way back in Genesis and have made it now into the book of Hebrews. And over the last several weeks, we've been in the middle of a little series within a series that we've titled Faith Is... dot, dot, dot. Now, in Hebrews 11, the author takes some time to talk about many of the men and women of faith that we've seen throughout the scriptures. Many of them we've talked about before on this journey. And in these verses here in Hebrews 11, the author talks about why they were considered to be people of faith. And so in this series, we've been looking at the dot, 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 right? Faith is dot, dot, dot. We've been looking at the different aspects of faith that these men and women of God displayed throughout the scriptures. And last week, we started looking at Moses. And if you remember, I discovered midway through that there was too much that we could learn from Moses to share in 1 week, right? And so I broke it up. And so today we're picking up where we left off, and we're going to look at what I'm considering part two of this man of faith named Moses. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. Once again, we're going to read the same scriptures we read last week, Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 28. This is what they say. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Now, last week, I told you as I read through these scriptures about Moses that there were four things that stood out to me in regards to faith. We talked about two of them last week, and if you weren't here, or in case maybe you just decided not to listen as I spoke last week, let me recap them for you, okay? Not that any of you would do that. In verses 24 and 25, it says, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. And so the first thing we talked about last week was the fact that faith is choosing God over the pleasures of this world. I pointed out the fact that Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and he could have lived a life of luxury there in Pharaoh's palace. But instead of living a life of luxury as an Egyptian, he chose to identify himself with the people of God, with his Hebrew people. He chose to say yes to Jesus and no to the pleasures of this world. And again, this is the same choice God desires from each of us. And so I encourage you, we want to be people who walk in that kind of faith. And then the second thing we looked at, we looked at verse 26, which says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And so we talked about the fact that faith is realizing that this is not our home. This is not our home. I pointed out how long Moses' journey was after he chose God over the things of this world. He walked with God for 80 more years. But through it all, he never lost focus of the end goal. The promised land, right? That was the end goal, to experience the promised land. We have to remember that there is so much more beyond this life. And God wants us to keep our eyes focused on Him and the eternal life that He has for each of us if we choose Him, if we choose to follow Him. Now, this week, I want us to continue where we left off and look at the third thing that I think we can learn about faith from Moses, which is this. Number three, first one for today, third one overall. Faith is persevering through the difficult times. Hits home for us, right? Hits home for me over the last week or two, right? Persevering through the difficult times. In verse 27, it says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. One of the keys to success in this journey of following Jesus is something called perseverance. Our spiritual success is found in our ability to endure, to persevere, right? You see, God doesn't call us to be quitters. All throughout God's Word, we're told to endure, to persevere and push through regardless of what this world might bring against us, right? James 1:12, it was one of my favorite verses when I was in high school, college age. I actually wrote a rap about it, we won't go into that. But James 1:12 tells us this, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. When we look back at these heroes of faith mentioned in chapter 11, we see that one thing they weren't was quitters. They weren't quitters. Now, they may have made mistakes, maybe a lot of mistakes, right? They may have felt like quitting at times along the way, but in the end, they all persevered. They all pushed through. Verse 27 tells us that this was true about Moses. He was faithful to persevere. And so let's go back to the story of Moses and take a look at his life and see how he fought through great adversity. Because to start with, Moses may have looked more like a quitter than like someone who would persevere. And that's because the younger Moses was characterized by running away from things. And most of these things he ran from are actually some of the same things that cause us to run, right? First off, Moses was running from his past. He was running from his past. Last week we talked about Moses' decision to stand up for that Hebrew slave, right? And in doing so, he ended up killing an Egyptian master. He made a mistake. He knew it. And what did he do? He ran. He ran from his mistake. How often do we run from our mistakes? How often do we run from our past? Now, the truth is, I see people do this all the time. As a pastor, I see new people walk through our doors continuously. And many times I find out they're running away from a problem somewhere else. Maybe it's a problem in another place. Maybe a problem at another church with another pastor. Maybe it's a problem in another town. But they're running away from something. And the question we all have to ask ourselves is, are we running away from something? Are we running away from our past? Or maybe we're running away from something else. Maybe we're running from God Himself. Because Moses wasn't just running from his past. I think Moses was also running away from God. Moses knew he was one of God's chosen people. He knew God wanted him to help free the Israelites. That's why he stood up for the slave and spoke out against this Egyptian master. He was tired of seeing his people being treated the way they were being treated by the Egyptians. But Moses realized that he let his anger get the best of him, and he ended up taking it too far. And so now we see him running from his past, but also running from God. His life was meant for greatness, but now he's running away, hiding in the desert to tend sheep. How many of us have done the same thing in our lives? How many of us have run from God? Maybe it's out of shame because of our failures. Maybe it's because we don't think we're capable of doing what God is calling us to do. I can't do that, right? Even Moses himself, I'm a stutterer, right? Because we don't think we can do what God is calling us to do. That's part of the reason why Moses ran. He tried and failed, and so he thought he couldn't do it. But here's the thing. Even though we quit on ourselves, God will never quit on us. God shows up to Moses in the desert, right? In the form of a burning bush. I think many of us are familiar with this story. He shows up to Moses and he begins to tell Moses that he is going to complete the work that he began in him, right? Because that's what God does. He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. God tells Moses that he's going to use him to free the Israelites from the slavery of the Egyptians. And this man who had been running from his past and running from God decides to stand up and push on, to persevere. His days of quitting are now over. And let me say this. It wasn't because things got easier, right? Oh, well, things are easy now, so I can keep going on. That's not the case. As a matter of fact, I think things kind of got worse for Moses. Pharaoh refused to listen to him. He kept hitting a wall with Pharaoh. But what did Moses do? He just continued to persevere. And Pharaoh wasn't the only problem. The Israelites themselves rebelled against Moses and caused him many headaches, right? But we see throughout the scriptures, Moses continued to persevere. And I'm sure Moses got tired of hearing Pharaoh say no. I'm sure Moses got tired of the desert, right? I'm sure he got tired of the grumbling and complaining of the Israelites. And I'm sure there were times that Moses felt like giving up, right? Where he felt like quitting, but he didn't. And that's the key. He continued to persevere. I want to share with you a story I came across here on the internet. It said this: Beth Ann DeSantis was attempting to qualify for the 1992 Olympic Trials Marathon. A female runner must complete the 27-mile, 385-yard race. Why anyone would ever want to do that in their life, I have no idea. But they had to do it in less than 2 hours and 45 minutes to compete in the Olympic trials. Beth started strong, but began having trouble around mile 23. She reached the final straightaway at 2 hours and 43 minutes, with just 2 minutes left to qualify. 200 yards from the finish line, she stumbled and fell. Dazed, she stayed down for 20 seconds. The clock was ticking, 2 hours and 44 minutes, less than a minute to go. Beth Ann staggered to her feet and began walking. 5 yards short of the finish, with 10 seconds to go, she fell again. She began to crawl, the crowd cheering her on. She crossed the finish line on her hands and knees. Her time, 2 hours, 44 minutes, and 57 seconds. 3 seconds to spare. But what a great picture of perseverance, right? What a great picture of pushing through and not giving up. She may not have been standing, but she crawled her way to the finish. The key here is that she kept her eyes focused on the finish line. That's the key. I think what we talked about last week is our key to persevering through the difficult times. We have to remember that this is not our home. And we have to stay focused on the finish line. We have to stay focused on the end goal. Moses never lost focus of the end goal. He never lost focus of the promised land. And though he didn't experience what the Israelites knew as the promised land, Moses experienced the ultimate promised land because he didn't take his eyes off. That's why he was able to stay faithful and to persevere through the difficult times. That's what faith is. Faith is persevering through the difficult times. And then the fourth thing that I think we can learn about faith from Moses is this. Number four, faith is understanding the power of the blood. And let me explain what I mean by that. In verse 28, it says, "By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel." Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the story here, when Moses went to Pharaoh and told him to let God's people go, Pharaoh continued to say no, right? And so God sent numerous plagues to help change his mind. 10 plagues to be exact. First, you may remember, he turned all the water in the land to blood. Then there was the plague of frogs, okay? Then the plague of gnats. Then the plague of flies, then the death of their livestock, then boils all over their body, hail, locusts, darkness. And after each one of these plagues, Pharaoh would say, "Oh, okay, you can go," right? But then when the plague stopped, because, you know, as Israelites, the many group that they were, they couldn't just like leave the next day. It took a while to start gathering, getting things together, and the plague would stop, and then Pharaoh would what? He would change his mind. But the 10th and final plague was really the straw that broke the camel's back, because the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn, and it actually killed Pharaoh's firstborn son. At midnight, a death angel would pass over the land of the Egyptians and the Israelites. And death would come to the firstborn of any household that didn't have the blood of the lamb sprinkled on the top and sides of the doorpost. Now, when you think about this, it seems like a crazy exercise, right? How would the blood of a lamb on the doorpost protect from death? But Moses believed, right? He believed what God told him. And so he told the people of Israel what they needed to do. And those who obeyed and believed were spared this curse of death. And the thing is that the same imagery comes into our Christian faith, right? Jesus is called our Passover lamb. His life was given, his blood spilled so that we could be cured the curse of spiritual death. And in the same way that the blood of the lamb saved the Israelites, the blood of the lamb, Jesus Christ, saves all of us. But it takes faith, right? It takes great faith to accept this and to understand the power of the blood in our own lives. You know, so often we think good works or just being nice will save us. But we can't earn our way into heaven. You can't do enough good things to outweigh the sin in our lives, right? Our salvation comes one way and one way only, through the blood of the Lamb. Moses, he was an amazing man of faith, right? And there is so much that we can learn from him when it comes to faith. We learn from Moses that faith is choosing God over the pleasures of this world. Faith is realizing this is not our home. Faith is persevering through the difficult times, and faith is understanding the power of the blood and the life that it brings to all of us. Amen. That's what faith is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for Moses and just the role he played throughout the scriptures, Lord, the man of God that he was and that so many of us have learned from. And we're thankful for his faithfulness, Lord. We're also thankful, Lord, that you never gave up on him. That in the midst when he ran and went his own way, Lord, that you went and met him right where he was at. And Lord, I know there are many of us that at times have ran from things, ran from our past, ran from you even. But I'm so thankful that you are a God that comes and meets us where we're at, Lord. I'm so thankful that you are a God who opens the door for us to have life because of the fact that, Lord, your blood was spilled, that you gave your life, that you rose again so that we could have life in and through you, Lord. And it's just a matter of us believing. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, that his blood means something, then we will have life in and through you, Lord. And we are so thankful for that. And so, Lord, help us to be people of faith. Help us to believe and trust in who you are and what your word and your scriptures speak to each of us. Lord, we give you this word this morning. May you allow it to meet each of us where we're at, Lord. What is it you want to speak to each of us through your word this morning? How is it you want to challenge us in our faith, Lord? Is there areas where we're falling short? Is there areas where we need to improve? Lord, where are those areas? Help us to see those things and to seek to be people who put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, when we look at Moses, we see this amazing man of faith, but we can forget the fact that he had flaws, he had failures. He was worried that he couldn't do the work that you were calling him to do. He was a stutterer. Lord, so many of us fear we can't do what you were calling us to do. But it's a matter of realizing that you are bigger than anything, Lord, bigger than anything this world brings against us, and that we can do all things through you who strengthens us. May we draw upon you and the power of your blood, Lord, to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. We thank you for these things. We thank you for this morning. Just allow this word to settle in our heart and for us to grow from it. We give you these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.